Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out. How many of you are thankful for men like Dr. King who stood and fought for freedoms that we enjoy today? In 1963, Dr. King released a speech that has become one of the most iconic speeches in American history. And over again, he repeated this line, I have a what? Dream. I have a dream. He had a dream worth living for. He had a dream worth giving his life to. But more importantly, he had a dream that outlived him. He had a dream that shaped a nation. Because his dream was bigger than him. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power of a dream. But not just having a vision for your life, but a dream that is so big that it outlives you and can pass on to the next generation. If you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. We're going to start in the 19th verse. And this is a portion of scripture that we are using for this series that we are in, called the butterfly effect. And the big idea is small changes have big outcomes. Turn to the person next to you and say, small changes have big outcomes. So in 1 Kings 19, verse 19, the Bible says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Now let me pause. When it says he, it's talking about a man named Elijah. And he is on his way to find a guy named Elisha. Very similar names. One has a J, one has an S. And Elijah is a man of God on a mission. And as he is going through his journey, he comes across this man named Elisha, which is a very important moment in time because Elisha is going to be the one who's going to pick up whenever Elijah stops. So Elijah finds Elisha because there's going to be a passing of the torch, if you will. Elijah has carried the vision, the mission, and the dream of God, but now it's time to pass it on. That's why your dream has to be bigger than you. It needs to be something that you can pass on to the next generation. So it says he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12. Elijah passed by and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Next week, we're going to get into some important details of that passage, but the one thing I want you to see today is where it says, he departed from there. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, he departed from there? Which means Elijah was somewhere doing something before he got to this moment. There's something that he left behind. And the phrase, he departed from there, is a connector between where he was and where he currently is. And knowing the full story is what makes the story interesting. Knowing where he came from and where he is what really builds the tension of the story. One of my favorite movies is Rocky. We have any Rocky lovers out there? Yeah. What makes Rocky so good is you get the backstory of where he came from. He was a nothing, a nobody from nowhere, but he perseveres, he endures, and he becomes the heavyweight champion of the world. It's the struggle and the victory that makes the movie worth watching. If the movie was all him just beating up people, most people wouldn't really enjoy that. If the entire movie was just his struggle with no victory, people wouldn't enjoy it. But when you see where he came from to where he goes, it makes the story more powerful. So when it says he departed from there, we really need to know where he came from in order to get the fullness of what is currently happening in this moment. Because up until this time, Elijah was going through one of the most challenging seasons of his life. He was tired, he was burned out, he was ready to throw in the towel, give up, and die. As a matter of fact, he is so desperate that he actually prays and says, God, take my life, I'm done. It is through. It's finished. And maybe some of you have been there in your life before where you've been squeezed so hard, you're like, I don't see any way out of this. I'm done. I give up. I throw in the towel. Exiting this life seems like a better plan than just staying here. And that's where Elijah is when the Bible says, then he departed from there. In other words, he got up and left that situation and moved on with his life. And what I feel like somebody needs to be encouraged with this morning is that no matter where you are or what you find yourself in, you can depart from there. You can depart from your depression. You can depart from your dysfunction. You can depart from your addiction. You don't have to stay where you are. But in order to move beyond where you are, you've got to have a dream. You have to have a vision for your life. See, when Elijah's in this place where he's desperate and he tells God he wants to die, God shows up in that moment, which is so cool to me to know that God will show up in our dysfunction. You know, so many times we think like, there's only certain times and atmospheres that God will show up. I've got to set the heavenly realm, you know, get the incense a burning and all this stuff. But yet in this moment where Elijah is praying a suicidal prayer, God steps down. And the Bible says there's a great earthquake, there's this big wind, there's all this fire, and it says God wasn't in any of that, but he was in the still, small voice, and he whispers to Elijah, which means he's very close. Close enough for him to hear, and that you need to know that. God is close to you right now. Whatever you're walking through, God is close to you, and he's got a departure plan for you, but you've got to see it. Because, see, it's really hard to live beyond what you can see. Can I tell you why most people get stuck in hurtful cycles? The reason people get stuck in dysfunctional seasons many times is because they can't see a better option. They can't see a better option for their life, so they settle for what it currently is. They can't see a better option for their financial situation, so they settle for what it currently is. They can't see a better option for their relationships, so they settle for what they currently are. But if you can see a better option, it gives you something to go after. I was thinking about it this morning. I should have brought my pistol. I almost did, because it's way cooler when the pastor pulls out a pistol in church, but I forgot it. But I was thinking, you know, if you go out shooting, any guys like to go out shoot? Any ladies you like to go shoot? If you go out shooting, you could go outside and you could just be like Yosemite Sam, just pew, 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 tarnations and just firing everywhere. And you'll hit a lot of stuff, but it's not going to be anything that you really want to hit. See, but if I go out there with a target in mind, it gives me something to look after. It gives me something to aim towards. It gives me a dream and a vision to move into. I want to read a passage of scripture to you this morning that's extremely popular. And if you continue coming to this church, you're going to hear this scripture over and over and over again because it is so important. Watch what the Bible says. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. What that means is people wander through life aimlessly because they can't see any other way. They expend a lot of energy. You do a lot of stuff, but you're not making any headway because you don't have a dream for your life. The King James Version says where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. That means they die where they are because they can't see anything better, and so they give up. They says, it's just the way it is. You ever heard anybody say that? It's just the way it is. You know, my parents were this way. My grandparents were this way. That's just the way it is. Everybody in my family was an addict. Just the way it is. And we become a Bruce Hornsby song. That's just the way it is. Some things won't ever change. You know? Everybody in my family, everybody's getting divorces. That's just the way it is. Some things won't ever change. I'm a loser. I don't have a good education. And that's just the way it is. We get this repetitive cycle because we can't see anything better. But I need you to know there is always a departure if you can see it. If you can set your sights on it. If you can have a vision for your life, you can move forward. Now, when I talk about having a dream, I'm not talking about coming up with some kind of fantasy. I'm talking about having a God-centered, God-sized dream that you go after. And when you have a God-sized dream, you have a reason to live. When you have a God-sized dream, you have a reason to get up in the morning and keep on moving. When you have a God-sized dream, when all hell breaks loose, you have a reason to say, I'm moving forward and I'm departing from here. There may be a season that I have to walk through, but it's okay. I'm going to walk through it because I'm departing from here. Somebody needs to make that their chant for this year. I'm departing from here. I wish it rhymed with 2025. In 2025, I'm departing from here. Who I was is not who I will be. The cycle in my life that has been destroying my mind and my emotions is going to break because now I have a dream and a vision for who it is I am becoming. Because if I don't have that dream, if I don't have that vision, I'll limit my life and stay where I am. I had them bring up a picture of Nick Vocek. Some of you have seen him before. Nick was born with no arms and no legs. And most people would say, if I was in that situation, there's really no reason to live. Yet Nick became a successful author, a successful motivational speaker. He's a successful family man and father. Why? Because he didn't allow his disabilities to disable him. Can I tell you something? You can't allow the disabilities in your life to disable you. I had him get a picture of Ray Charles. Many of you are familiar with his work and his music. He was born into poverty. He had nothing. If anybody had an excuse for failure, Ray Charles would have had an excuse for failure. Because not only did he have nothing and come from nothing, but when he was a young boy, he lost his sight. Couldn't see. But he didn't allow his limitations to limit him. Here's the thing. Your dream has to be bigger than your excuses. Can I say that for all the people in the back? Your dream has to be bigger than your excuses. You're watching online right now. Your dream has to be bigger than your excuses because life will always give you a reason to quit. Life will always give you a reason to throw in the towel. But you've got to have a dream big enough to say, it doesn't matter what comes my way, I am moving forward. How many of you know, yeah, if you want to clap, you can clap. It's okay. We don't play patty cake, Baker's man. My aunt always used to say this, and I'll give you the PG version of what she said. If anybody knows, a few of you know my Aunt Herlaine. She says some stuff. But she would say, excuses are like belly buttons. Now, she didn't say belly buttons, but you can use your imagination. Excuses are like belly buttons. Everyone has one, and they all stink. I found that to be true. We all have excuses for why we can't. Why we can't make it, why this won't survive, why we can't do anything. I don't have enough education. All of these things, we all have enough excuses. But here's the thing, your excuses stink. And they have no ground if you're in Christ. Because all things become possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. See, the dream gives you the ability to endure. The dream gives you the ability to go beyond the excuse. It's impossible to talk about dreams without talking about Joseph from Scripture. You know the guy with the coat with all the colors on it? When he's a little boy, God gives him a dream. It's a vision of his future. But the problem is his life didn't always look like his dream. And you need to know your life will not always look like your dream. You may have a dream of marriage looking this way, and life won't always mimic that dream. But the dream gives you something to hold on to. Are you with me? So his brothers sell him out. He gets thrown into a pit. Then he gets sold into slavery. From slavery, he gets falsely accused and thrown into prison, where he remains for a few years. Life doesn't look like the dream. It looks like a nightmare. Some of y'all can testify that sometimes the dream looks like a nightmare. But he doesn't give up because he's got something to hold on to. This is what God said. I've got a target in mind. I got to keep on moving. And one day he steps into the place and the dream is realized. Why? Because he didn't give up. He had plenty of excuses to, plenty of reasons why, but he kept on going. He kept on moving. You've got to have a dream. You have to have a vision for your life. You have to allow God to paint a picture on the canvas of your heart and on your mind that you focus on, because it gives you something to go after. Can I show you this passage in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20? The Bible says, now to him who is able. Who's able? Somebody shout it out. God. So let's say it this way. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Now get a picture of this. God not only has the ability to do what you're praying for, but he can far supersede it. Says he's able to do far more than you can ask or think according to the power that's in you. So God is going to give the ability for it to happen. So you need to know it happening is not up to you. All you got to do is hold on. All you got to do is be the asker. All you got to do is be the thinker. And there's a power inside of you that when you get your imagination running in the right direction, your life will gravitate towards it. See, that's what God's wanting you to see. I have some things planned for you, and I need your imagination to focus on it. Did you know God gave us imagination? Our ability to dream and imagine came from God. And we can use it in healthy ways or we can use it in destructive ways. But God is wanting us to know if we can use our imagination in a healthy way, it will pull our life into the place that he's prepared for us. He wants us to imagine ourselves whole because he's made us whole. He wants us to imagine ourselves free because he has made us free. He wants us to imagine ourselves peaceful because he's made us peaceful. He's given us peace. He wants us to imagine ourselves joyful because he's made joy available. Here's a big one. He wants you to imagine yourself forgiven because in Christ Jesus, that's who you are. You're a new creation. That means I no longer identify with who I was. I no longer imagine myself that way. Now I imagine myself after the pattern of what God has said. See, I'm not the dream maker. That's what we have to understand. I'm not making up a fantasy about my life that I want to see happen. All I'm doing is bringing my life in alignment with what he has said and made available to me. Can I blow your mind for a second? In 1903, the airplane was invented. Now, before that time, people would travel long journeys on trains, and before that, it was boat rides. But I was thinking about this. Do you know when it became possible for the airplane to be created? Think about that. Some people would say, well, a few months before it was actually created, or, you know, maybe a few years when they actually came up with a game plan. But here's the reality. The airplane was always there. From the moment God said, let there be, the airplane was. It was just in raw material form. He was waiting for someone to see what the material could become and use their imagination to make it so. When it comes to your life, he's wanting you to see what it can become with him and make it so. That's what vision is. Vision is looking beyond what something currently looks like to what it could become. See, I could look at a tree and be like, oh, that's just a tree. It'll always be a tree. And then one day it'll die as a tree. Or I could look at it and say, that could become a table. That could become a bed. That could become a house. That could become a village. That could become a school. See, the possibilities are endless when I have the proper perspective, and that's what vision is, seeing from God's heavenly perspective. I'm not creating a dream. I'm just carrying the dream that he's placed inside of me, and it's all based upon his word, and that's why it's so important for your life to be rooted in his word, because where there is no word, there will be no vision. Did you hear what I just said? Where there is no word, there will be no vision. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, it says, thy word, your word, God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, God's word has the ability to show you things that you do not see on your own. Because you may see yourself as a loser, but his word says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You may see yourself as an accident, but God sees you as a person of purpose. Once I get his word, I get the dream. See, that's the dream right there. I hate going to sermons where it's like people just like throw this stuff out there that you're supposed to catch and go make something of it. Let me tell you what the dream is. The dream's the same for every single person. Become who God said you can be. That's the dream. God says you can have peace. I've got a dream of having a life of peace. God says I can have joy. I've got a dream of being a person of joy. God says that my family can be a blessing. My marriage can be blessed. I've got a dream of that happening. God says that my finances can be in a place where everything's okay and I'm secure financially. That's my dream. Now, there may be different things that we do within that dream to bring it about, but the dream's the same. Become who God said you can become. What's a vision? Seeing from God's heavenly perspective. Not looking at life as what it currently is in the natural, but what can it become? Can I tell you the biggest problem that most of us have? Is we can't see beyond our problems. We miss the promise ahead of us because our problems are so magnified in our life. That's what we imagine. We imagine the problem and how it's going to crush us and how it's going to destroy us when there's a promise on the other side. That's what happened to Israel. God said, I want you to go in and take the promised land. And when they went to spy it out and get a vision for where they were going, all they saw was the opposition. And because they focused on the opposition, they missed the promise. But see, vision gives me the ability to see beyond. I wish I could just dig this into your life today, because I can't have a dream for you. Only you can have a dream for yourself. All I can do is present the fact and the reality that you have the potential to dream, and you have the ability through Christ to step into that dream, that place of wholeness and freedom. But you've got to make up your mind. This is who I am. This is where I'm going. Things are actually shifting and changing in my life. See, church is not an option for me, because church is the place where I receive the word that plants my feet and gets me moving in the right direction. If you miss the day, you could miss the word that could change everything for your life. See, we don't see that. Every time we take an offering is an opportunity to sow a seed that could change your future. But we don't see that. And so we never see anything change. It all comes down to how we think, how we perceive, how we imagine. The dream is important, but it's not just for you. It's not just for you. It's for the people that are coming behind you. So you have to have a dream big enough that once you've carried it as far as you can carry it, your kids and grandkids can pick it up and carry it. That's what we're building here. We're not just building a gathering place. We're building a place where people can carry the dream. That as long as this earth exists, there will be a place where the gospel is presented because we built a dream that someone else could carry. This is hugely important to me. And I'm not going to limit myself this year in my imagination or what I think or what I see. I'm not going to focus on what it looks like. I'm going to focus on what it can become, and I'm going to trust God to do his part. I'll have the faith, and he'll be the faithful. I'll believe, and he'll be the one that brings it about. I'll endure whatever I have to endure. Life's not always going to be easy, church. But I know I'll make it. That's got to be your mindset. I'm going to make it because Christ is with me. And greater is he who is with me than anything else in this world. I'm going to make it because his hand is on my life. I'm going to make it because I'm going to experience his favor. I love David's prayer. And I always circle back to this where he says in Psalms, he says, I would have given up. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's he saying? I've got a dream that even though I go through hell, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Joseph saw the favor of God in every season he was in, even the ones he didn't like. God was close to Elijah in his most dysfunctional season. God is with you. There is no excuse. This is the year to move forward. This is the year to make things happen. This is the year to get some courage. This is the year to get some motivation. This is the year to move forward. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.